Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Well, happy Monday and welcome to Call to Freedom. God would like to use today, yes, today, to teach you more about His love for you and His plan for your life. May your heart be humble and ready to learn. Praise the Lord. Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. I love this. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. Hallelujah. It is the Word of God. Oh, I'm so grateful for the Word of God, His love letter to you today, friend. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And if you're on the run and you just can't stay home very often, you can find freedomstreet.org on your phone. Go to freedomstreet.org and you can click on under resources, the title, radio shows, if you'd like to listen to radio shows. Also, you can go to newsletters. You can go to the blog, which is
Voices of Freedom.
Voices of Freedom. Yes. Thank you, Kimberly. Yes, under teachings. So there's a lot of new stuff. Jesus is right there on the cover, and you can see Him. He's welcoming every sinner into the fold, into the flock, into His kingdom. And oh, we pray that it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Oh, Kimberly, I'm excited about the years ahead. I really am.
Yes, so much hope for the future.
Yes, there are. Mm-hmm. I have an email from Jay Sekulow, and we give to American Center for Law and Justice every month. I believe he's doing such great work, he and Jordan and the whole team, and it's worldwide now in every nation. President Obama's corruption ran deep, and now a grand jury is reviewing explosive evidence of the deep state plot to stop Trump. The deep state's anti-Trump operation wasn't just a partisan political witch hunt. It appears to be criminal. Former CIA Director Brennan and FBI Director Comey are now implicated in what federal officials are calling a treasonous conspiracy. The cover-up is unraveling, and it leads straight back to Obama himself. We have filed nearly 20 legal cases to expose the deep state and directly fuel these criminal investigations. And we face a criminal court deadline in just 3 days. This is the moment to strike. We've won before. We can do it again. The deep state is circling its wagons. The fight is massive, but we need you now. Every dollar you give will be doubled today through our 35 years of victory drive. So you give $5, it is double to 10. You give 20, it's 40. You give 50, it's 100. So have your gift doubled to defeat Obama's deep state. The Trump administration must finish the job, and we're fighting alongside them to expose every lie, leak, and lawless act of the deep state. And while you're there at ACLJ.org, sign the Defeat Obama and Deep State Corruption. And thank you so much for emailing us this wonderful email. It is wonderful because we are on the fighting line. We truly are. And our memory verse for this week is 1 Peter 4:8. We cannot be on the firing line, folks, if we don't know of God's love for us. It's useless and it's wasteful if we don't know that God loves us with an absolutely unconditional love. 1 Peter 4:8 in the New American Standard is, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So good. What one of your translations, Kimberly?
The Passion Translation says, above all, constantly echo God's intense love for one another, for love will be a canopy over a multitude of sins. I like that it mentions the echo thing, because a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the echo and how when we speak something out, we can expect it to echo back on us. So we want to be speaking love.
Yes.
We want to speak good things over ourselves and over others. And the message actually says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. I like that. As if your life depended on it. Practice love like your life depends on it. I think that's what keeps us truly alive, really awake in this world. We're not bogged down with routine and schedules. We are awake and alive when we are practicing love. And to practice love, we've got to practice all the fruits of the Spirit. That's you know, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and some of them are a little harder to practice than others.
Yes. Some of us are through only 4 or 5. We have a little bit of a way to go. Especially that self-control.
Oh. Well, and patience. We joke around about not praying for patience, because then we'll be put in situations where we need a lot of patience.
That's right.
So being able to practice those fruits in a way that you want others to treat you. If you want others to be patient with you, then you practice patience.
That's right.
And it makes a difference. In this world, it brings a fullness, a wholeness, a wellness, and a healing to this world when we practice love and all of the fruits that go with it.
That's right. Well, Saturday, we had such a great meeting. We always get into these wonderful discussions for an hour or more, which they just really make my day. And we were talking about living in the love of God Saturday. Just a really great discussion. And we wanted to bring some of that scripture to you, because you were not at the meeting. I mean, if you are not one of those people that, you know, don't come to the meeting, or you have other activities on Saturday, I totally understand. So Kimberly and I are wanting, and thank you, Kimberly, for coming to Call to Freedom. Yes.
There were some people at the meeting thinking that I had just come back into town again, you know.
You have been here for a while.
So thank you for your patience. See, you are practicing patience to have me in your home all this time. What has it been, 7 weeks?
I don't know. Finally, you said something the other day that kind of stopped me for a moment, because you were saying, well, when I come back here on vacation or something, I said, no, you go home to Tulsa on vacation.
Yeah,
you are living here now.
It's starting to feel that way for sure.
It is.
So thank you for your patience in having me here.
That's right. Well, the human race, if you know anything about the human race, if you've been involved with the human race, they worship at the altar of self. And when they should be worshiping God who created them, but they don't. They worship the creation more than the Creator. And Romans 1:21-25 explains that in the Message, Kimberly. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well, but when they didn't treat him like God, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion. Boy, don't we have that. So that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in his hands, for cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. And do you have verse 24? You can read on through 25.
Well, I don't have the Message version.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Just read.
So this is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression of their sinful and shameful desires. They were given over to moral depravity, dishonoring their bodies among themselves. And, you know, I need to just say something about this. This is why God lifted off his restraining hand and let them have full expression. Do you know why? Because God loves, and his love covers a multitude of sins, and he knows that about himself.
That's right.
And he knows that when he does not restrain us and gives us freedom, see, there's the free will. He lifts his restraining hand because he loves us and wants us to have our freedom.
That's right.
So when we have our freedom, we're given over to moral depravity, dishonoring bodies among themselves, all because they traded the truth of God for a lie. They worshipped and served the things God made rather than the God who made all things.
Yes. Now, the message is so good because it wasn't long because these people who were ignoring God, not honoring God, before they're living in a pig pen smeared with filth, filthy inside and out, and they didn't even realize that they were living like pigs.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And we do that. We get into our life believing that we need certain things. Wow, they end up becoming chains to us. Mm-hmm. And not just chains, but mud. And we're just trudging along in mud.
Yes.
Because of our choices and what we think we need in this life. It really can bog us down.
That's right.
When the Lord really wants freedom for us.
Yes. So Paul the Apostle, who was going to all of these idolatrous towns to try to raise up a church, which he did, but it was very difficult. Paul saw the junkyard of idols in Athens, playing up to idols made of stone that God made. People begin to separate God from their everyday activities. Oh, they read the Bible, but when that Bible is closed, it's as if there are two realms in their lives. One realm is that they can think about God just for a moment, and another realm is devoid of God. For the root of all things pertaining to idolatry, Kimberly, is self.
Mm-hmm.
Is self. What you want.
I have come from that very place in my life where I was so busy, and it was busyness with education and with the idea of career and being promoted and moving through this life in a way where I felt like I was going to have a better life. Mm-hmm. And I was pursuing all the things that I thought were going to get me to that better life.
Mm-hmm.
In pursuing those things, I wasn't thinking about God as much. And what's interesting about that is my idea in career was ministry. And so I was studying the Bible, and you would think that I was including God, but I wasn't including relationship with Him because I had a different agenda.
That's right.
Rather than relationship and love for Him and Him alone, I had a love for what I thought I was going to get out of the study, out of my pursuits.
Yes. Now, this morning you went to pick up our friend Otilia at the airport, and on the way to where her destination was, she told you about the different ages that people go through.
The stages of ages. I guess
okay.
That's what I would call
yeah.
it. Well,
and
yeah.
It was so good. It was so interesting, but good, about the different phases of our lives. And I believe it's God. You know, He starts out so patient and mm-hmm. understanding with us when we're selfish, when we went our own way. Mm-hmm. God, I don't have enough time for you. And then Otilia was saying
I know.
These things. It
thank
was
you,
so good.
Friend, for sharing this. If you're listening, I just want to say thank you to you. Because you brought out the idea that in our 20s, in the years of our 20s as human beings, we are very concerned and swept up and caught up with what other people think about us and our friendships and social life. We want to be thought of well, so we're trying really hard in those years. In our 40s, we get to a place where we don't really care so much what other people think about us, and so then we're just going to be who we are and not really care so much.
You've gotten more stable in your life when you're in at 40. Mm-hmm. No?
Well,
you're
a lot of 40-year-olds, well, I'm just very, very aware that a lot of 40-year-olds have midlife crisis right then. Mm-hmm. And so they try to redevelop themselves. And in the redeveloping, they might not care so much about the people that they have had a family with and that they're growing with, and they might toss it all aside and say, you know what, this is not fulfilling for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go after what I want to go after now.
Yes.
So that's what I mean by not really caring as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of it can be positive and good in maturity, but I know quite a few that have a hard time in that area of their life. They see that the years have gone quickly and they feel unfulfilled. And then they're reaching for something that will fulfill. By the time you get to your 60s, so we're talking about two-decade
increments
in here, 20s and 40s and 60s. By the time you get to your 60s, you kind of figure out nobody really cares about you. Mm. And I'm saying that, it sounds kind of harsh, but I'm saying that in a way where in your 60s, hopefully, you're gaining wisdom and you're understanding that the only one who really deeply cares for you is the Lord. And he brings people to you that show you his care. Mm-hmm. He brings circumstances. He brings provision. He gives gifts and surprises on a daily basis. And you start realizing, oh, human beings very much lack in the area of caring and loving each other.
Even children. Say, for instance, you've had four or five children, but now they're going on their own way. They're doing their own career. They're getting their own families together, mm-hmm. and they're establishing their own traditions. Mm-hmm. You know, not traditions that mom and dad had. We're going to be contemporary here. So even children can ignore parents at that stage, 60s, 70s. Yes.
Right. And it's meant to be that way. We're supposed to actually walk out that journey. We're not supposed to fix that. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to learn from it.
Yes.
And when we learn from that journey, hopefully we're growing in love toward one another and more love toward God.
That's
realizing,
right.
This self that I have, this ego that's just, I'm constantly revolving around self. I really want to lay that down and live for you, because that's what brings healing to this planet.
Yes.
Is living in love toward one another and toward God.
Yes. And that's what John's talking about in 1 John. It's things that we have to look out for, especially when we call ourselves Christians or believers. We've got to look out for these things. And number one is the lust of the flesh. John mentions this in 1 John 2, verse 16. You have to look out for the lust of the flesh, what your flesh wants. Oh, that looks so good. But if your stomach can't take the hot food, like I had a couple of weeks ago, then you know that there are some limitations to what you can eat. And some people just gobble down those jalapenos without any breath or anything. And so we
No problem.
So we have to look out for not only that, but the things in the flesh, our physical life, that are no longer applicable to our life.
Really, it's just a listening.
It is a listening.
And so it's not this rule that we're looking for. We're listening to the Lord and mm-hmm. letting him guide us mm-hmm. instead of our taste buds guiding us.
Yes, instead of our taste buds, yes. And you have to be very careful about the lust of the eyes. Oh, now with cell phones, I mean, what you see on your cell phone, it can be detrimental to your life. So we've got to make sure some of those things that are on the screen are gone and taken mm-hmm. care of. And then you want to also watch out for that pride of life. Pride is what got Eve into real deep trouble.
Well, do you want to explain that more?
Because she thought about herself and how good it would be for her. And so she thought, well, maybe this serpent is right in saying that I could be like God. And pride takes over.
Mm-hmm. But that was part of the plan.
Yes, it was, Kimberly.
I actually believe
Kimberly
that.
Always brings us right around to the truth of the word.
Well, because if we don't keep the whole big plan in our focus, then we can get really lost in all of the details of this life. Mm-hmm. But the whole plan was that we become the perfect partner for God.
Yes.
He wants the best friend.
That's right.
And in the very beginning of Genesis, when he is looking at Adam after he's created Adam, he says, it is not good for man to be alone. That's part of God's story, not just mankind's story. Mm-hmm. Because we're made in the image of God. And so he's allowing the whole story to play out in front of us. It's not good for God to be alone is what he said. He said it.
That's right.
That's what he came to the conclusion of. He wants a best friend. That's us. We're his best friend. And so we have to go through all of this process, the fall and the redemption.
Yes.
We've got to go through it all in order to become his friend. What does it accomplish? It helps us know his great love.
That's right.
His great love.
Yes.
Indescribable love.
Now, God was planning for his people, and it was the Jewish people, mainly in the Old Testament, that he was looking out for. He was making sure that they were taken care of, and their pride took the form of rebellion. They rebelled. They complained. But God, you're right, Kimberly, he was making a plan that all, not just the Jewish people, all the world would be covered with redemption.
Mm-hmm.
All the world would be covered with sanctification and God's love. Oh, it's such a beautiful story. His story, God's story. So we think sometimes, oh, I got to learn so much in this life. I've got to go to college. I've got all these books. I've got books and books and books. Self-help books bring about a spirit of idolatry because you're focusing on yourself and getting the help you need. Anything self-help looks nice and necessary, but will never bring the satisfaction and fulfillment. If you put yourself high, you will experience low. If you exalt yourself in any way, shape, or form, oh, look what I did, then you will be humbled.
Mm.
And we have an evil one. We have an enemy who did this in the very beginning. In Isaiah 14, Isaiah is talking about Satan. His name was Lucifer then. And he says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning." Lucifer was not only the most beautiful angelic being in heaven, but he was the worship leader. And so Isaiah is saying all these beautiful, all these words about this being that was beautiful in heaven. "You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations." When Satan takes over in the nations, and you can see it in the Middle East, they are all about war. Even in Russia, Putin is all about war. And the devil has weakened the nations to only think of themselves and be at war. And in verse 13 of Isaiah 14, it says, "You said in your heart," listen to this, "I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly, and I will descend above the heights of the clouds and make myself like the Most High." I, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times did he say I.
Mm-hmm.
The pride came in such an evil form.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring it right back around to love, because you're talking about the nations and war. We war with ourselves. Every day,
yes,
we are so tempted to be looking at ourselves, and that selfishness, I, gets in the way of loving others and pouring yourself out for others,
mm-hmm,
really, truly serving others and laying down what you might think you would like in,
yes,
order for others to be comforted, to be helped along the way, to be provided for. And that is the true way of love. To have patience, to be kind, to have gentle answers towards someone who might be stressed out, could be angry, could be upset,
mm-hmm,
and to have gentleness and kindness the whole way. The pride that came through one man, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Adam and Eve, when they sinned and the fall happened, that pride came right in, and selfishness, it's I, it's me,
mm-hmm,
me. And we're all born into that.
Mm-hmm.
But that came through one man. And in Romans 5:12, it says, "Just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin." So now we're messing up the world.
Mm-hmm.
"So death spread to all men because of this one."
Yes.
"And now all have sinned because of the one," right? One.
Well,
is Adam?
Yeah, we would have all been, I mean, all of us would have probably fallen in that temptation.
Sure, sure.
Yes.
But
yes,
we're all under that.
Under the sin.
Because,
yes,
of one.
Of
now,
Adam.
Is Adam greater than Jesus?
No.
Okay. Next verse. Verse 14, I'm in Romans 5. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned,"
yes,
"in the same way that Adam sinned, who is a type of him who was to come." How is Adam like a type of him to come? Adam sinned. The one to come
will be like a human being.
Okay.
Yeah.
So also, The free gift is not like the transgression of Adam. For if by the transgression of one Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many.
Yes.
Adam is not greater than Jesus. When Jesus came and gave his life and said, I choose forgiveness, I choose love, my blood speaks a better word over all. Better than Adam's word, better than Abel, Cain and Abel, better. My blood is better. And so because all fell short, all sinned and fell short of the glory of God through Adam, now all have been justified and yes. forgiven through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I know that people make the argument, and I've done it too, that you've got to repent, that you have to repent in order to be covered in that. Well, there, this section in Romans 5 is saying that even those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam were still considered sinners and condemned by it. Now, Jesus has come to justify and to forgive.
Yes.
You are forgiven today. You are forgiven and you are loved. You are considered precious. And you have a great plan and a great hope ahead of you because of what Jesus has done for you today.
Yes, 1 Peter 4:8 tells it. His love covers a multitude of sins. And friend, if you will just ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord today, he will do that. He will come into your heart and change you like you've never been changed before. Oh, thank you for listening. We have more to talk about in God's love tomorrow. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
For listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy